Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke!
Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
And welcome to a Thursday edition of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this Thursday afternoon.
Brian is fine. He is fine.
He is not locked in Evan's basement. No, he is alive and well. I've spoken to him earlier today.
But you can't talk to him.
I can talk to him.
You can. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But they can.
Yeah, they can. Not today.
Believe me.
It's okay. He's off in improving signals and doing the things that Brian does best. And then just being all around asset to this network of radio stations you're listening to right now on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM out of Waukesha. As always, I am holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side. Brian is back in Wisconsin. I can confirm that as well. I know that to be true. And so he's off hard at work this afternoon, but I got Evan on the board with me and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. And one of the subjects that I alluded to yesterday that I want to give a little bit more airtime to, because I feel like, and don't get me wrong, yesterday's conversation was excellent. We had a long discussion about absentee ballot drop boxes and then the ruling last week from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, as well as this week's decision to deadlock 3-3 on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, providing further guidance on those. An update on that story, Megan Wolf, the administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission, came out today with guidance saying that you should mail individually your own absentee ballot. So that is the recommendation from the WEC's administrator, Megan Wolf, who has been criticized by Republicans, but pretty much promoting a wish of the Republicans on the Wisconsin Elections Commission with that guidance. So that's a little bit more about yesterday's show. If you missed any portion of it, you can go check out the podcast at devilradio927.com. Click on the podcast tab, go down to Dueling Tangents. But what I want to talk about today is the Tim Michaels rise in the GOP gubernatorial primary to essentially be the front runner now. He was leading in the latest Marquette University poll, although it was within the margin of error. Still a ton of undecided voters in that primary. But it was the first poll that he was in, because the previous Marquette University poll before that came out right after Michaels had announced. So the polling details were released, but the time that the poll was taken, I believe, was like the same exact time that Michaels announced his candidacy. And so he didn't show up in those polls. This was the first poll last month that Michaels had shown up in. And he was statistically within the margin of error, but leading the pack of the GOP gubernatorial primary candidates. Since then, Kevin Nicholson has dropped out. He was polling at about 10%. Last week, I had on Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Dan and I kind of have a little bit of a concurrence that we believe that 10% that was supporting Kevin Nicholson probably most likely to go and back Tim Michaels in that. So we don't have the scientific polling that will back that up yet, but that is Dan and I's inclination. And so I want to talk a little bit more about Tim Michaels, because the state hasn't really talked about him a whole lot since 2004, when he ran against U.S. Senator Russ Feingold and lost that statewide election. This is his first dip back into politics, and he's running what I would classify as an interesting campaign, because Tim Michaels, he's in a little bit of an enigma to me with the way that he's running. He wants to win, and so this is what he needs to do. If he wants to be governor, he needs to win in a exceedingly more polarized Republican Party than ever before, And we see a lot of candidates having to go pretty far right to be able to win in Republican primaries. There's not a whole lot of outcry for moderation when it comes to Republican primaries of late. Since 2016, Republican candidates have been getting more and more extreme. But Tim Michaels wants to be able to win the Republican primary and then go on and beat incumbent Governor Tony Evers in November's general election. And I feel like he's kind of trying to take the Glenn Youngkin route in Virginia. It seems like he got Trump's endorsement. He must have, at some point, traveled down to Mar-a-Lago. I don't know the specifics on how he was the one that came away with that endorsement, seeing that we had a one candidate in the race that is literally the author of the legislation that would decertify Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes from the 2020 election. State Representative Tim Rantham, running his entire candidacy for the Republican gubernatorial primary, essentially on that topic. And he didn't get Trump's endorsement. The other Tim did, Tim Michaels. And so Tim Michaels got the former guy's endorsement. He's clear in that lane that he can tout that where he wants to tout it. But he seems to be trying to walk this tightrope that is maybe not answering questions. He skipped out on the Green Bay Republican primary debate a few weeks ago. I believe it was not last Monday, but the previous Monday. So it's been some time that he just chose that he wasn't going to attend. Kevin Nicholson went, Tim Rantham went, and former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish went. But Tim Michaels had other campaign events that day, so he decided he wasn't going. He's keeping away from, he's keeping himself sheltered, in my opinion, almost, from the Republican voters. He very much is, he's got Trump's endorsement, and now he's kind of weighing back and forth of, well, where do you stand on these issues? And sometimes he's just refusing to answer. Like, he's just not going to rule out a proposition to decertify the state's 2020 election results. Again, something legal experts say is impossible. Something legal experts say cannot be done. But the presumptive frontrunner now in the GOP gubernatorial primary here in Wisconsin, Tim Michaels, is saying, well, I won't rule out signing a bill to do something that legal experts say cannot be done. Tim Michaels is open to entertaining and reading about that and potentially signing it. He wasn't there at the GOP primary when they were asked a question of whether or not the election was stolen. I have a feeling he doesn't really want to answer that question. There's another story over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headline. Tim Michaels now says he is not against contraception during a campaign stop in Green Bay. Reading from that piece, Sophia Voigt and Molly Beck contributing to it, the Republican candidate for governor leading in state polling now says he's, quote, not against contraception after previously refusing to say whether he would sign legislation banning emergency contraceptives known as Plan B. I am against abortion. I am not against contraception. Tim Michaels, a construction executive endorsed by former President Donald Trump, told USA Today Network Wisconsin in an interview Tuesday when asked whether he would sign a bill as governor banning Plan B. Again, on previous shows, we've talked about how there are Republican attorneys now that are broadcasting what their plans are to even further roll back access to abortion in the state of Wisconsin if they receive a Republican ally in the governor's mansion or they get a supermajority of Republican legislators in 2023. And so Tim Michaels is now saying, well, I'm not against contraception. I'm not going to do that. But he previously wouldn't answer it. And it's, I think it's critical that we're talking a little bit more about who Tim Michaels is because, again, he's leading in the Republican polling. He very well could be the Republican nominee for governor here in Wisconsin this fall. And he seems to not want to answer a lot of questions, or he seems to have a pretty conflicted past. And he wants you to think that he's a down-to-earth guy. He's in a truck driving around the state of Wisconsin.
I got a flannel on.
He's got a flannel on. He grows out the mutton chops every now and then. That's Brian's favorite. Just, oh yeah, if I don't shave, I am more relatable to working class people. That's what Tim Michaels thinks.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
It's at least what his advisors are telling him, because I don't know. I don't think he has a great beard, but
it's called code switching. You know, when a candidate goes to different areas.
Is it code switching when you have to grow out a full beard for it, though?
I think that counts. Yeah.
You think that counts?
Yeah. And now in the age of, you know, the internet age, you can't hide this stuff. You know, Bill Clinton used to go down south and really ham it up, like, "Hey, y'all, Bill Clinton here."
He's from Arkansas, though.
But I mean, he would really ham it up, you know.
Oh yeah, I would. He also went to Yale or Harvard or both, or so I'm sure that there's a lot of people like with pasts like that that I believe yes could code switch. I believe absolutely that Tim Michaels code switches. He owns mansions in Connecticut. He is not fully, I guess, if you ask him, but he's been living in New York for the good part of the last decade. He will say that he was here more than 50%. He was here 51% of the time, but he's essentially lived on the East Coast for the last decade. And so I'm sure he's great at code switching. I'm very well. I believe that Tim Michaels is that kind of, you know, country club Republican mindset. He's very cordial to you, but then he toes the party line when it comes to all of the things that Republicans are broadcasting they want to do if they get a supermajority or win the governor's mansion in Wisconsin in 2023. And it's interesting. I don't know how we're not talking about him a little bit more, because he is, and how he's allowed to not answer these questions. And I'm glad the USA Network... Yeah, I'm glad the USA Today Network here in Wisconsin pinned him down on an answer for contraceptions, because we're going to talk a little bit about some of those updates further on in the show, but that's not something you just can not answer. When journalists and the public want to know, you have to be answering those questions. And Tim Michaels, some other aspects of his past as well, kind of where he was the president of a trades union, or not trades union, excuse me, a trades lobbying firm, though. And he just claims he did not know the background of the lobbyists that were, or the goals of the lobbyists that he was on the board of. And so we'll talk about it a little bit more, as well as taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian, but with the Evan on the board. And we'll be right back.
Who is this kid?
Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He's off, you know, improving the signals, saving the world, all those little things that are on his to-do list.
You guys, he gets enough calories every day.
Evan, it's so concerning the way that you're just so nonchalant about it.
Oh, there's nothing to worry about.
There's no leading information there. That's not. But you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. But, you know, I play Monkey Wrench, Evan, because there's one person that's not... not too thrilled, I would believe, with the rise to front-runner status for gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels. And that would be his competitor in the race, former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. She essentially set up the 1848 Project right after leaving the position of Lieutenant Governor, being defeated in 2018. So about pretty quickly in 2019, she started running that nonprofit, I guess, if you want to be a generous categorization. But she ran this nonprofit for about three and a half years, was raising money, recruiting a staff for it and everything. And then just magically, when she announced that she was running for governor, look, her entire campaign staff is there. It's weird how that worked out. But she's essentially been running this shadow campaign in waiting for the better part of the last 4 years, since losing in 2018. And she was presumed to be the front runner. She was presumed to be having a pretty easy time to receive the Republican nomination for governor this year. And Tim Michaels has come in and kind of stormed the stage and is now leading in the polls. And so we got some fundraising updates for quarter two, and then those campaign finance reports are coming out, and Rebecca Clayfish raised just over more than $3.6 million in the first half of 2022. Which I want to say Tim Michaels was spending almost roughly $1 million a week on his ad buys when he announced his candidacy. So Rebecca Clayfish, she was lauding it as one of the highest grossing fundraising totals for a non-incumbent governor. She put a ton of different disclaimers. Yeah, you got to put those disclaimers on there. It was a little smaller than the more than $10 million that incumbent governor Tony Evers announced that he had raised over the first half of the 2022 calendar year. And Evers so far to date, I believe, has raised close to $20 million or above in his reelection bid. So about $10 million since the start of the year and another $10 million before that. And so I can understand the disclaimers the former lieutenant governor would want to put on those fundraising totals, but she's kind of up against a stacked deck then compared to where I think a year ago people would have seen this race kind of shaping up as a Clayfish-Evers showdown. But Tim Michaels is a millionaire in the race, can back pretty much self-fund himself to the governorship. And it's interesting as well, though, because, again, one of those aspects of Tim Michaels, he wants to be a political outsider. That's what he claims he is. He's driving in his truck. He's on the construction site. He wants you to think he's real down to earth and he's an outsider. But our friends over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign also have a story up. They did some reports with the fundraising campaign finance reports that come out and are public. But you find out that Tim Michaels, running for Wisconsin governor as an outsider, donated money to many insiders. And this is Scott Bauer over at the AP, which is also picked up by the Wisconsin State Journal. But Scott Bauer goes into the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's work showing that over the last decade, Tim Michaels has donated to a lot of political insiders. This story broke yesterday when I was on the air and we talked about it a little bit. But he's even donated to his competitor, former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. And so he wants to be this political outsider. But records show, and this is reading from the Bauer piece over at the AP, over at the Wisconsin State Journal, that Michaels and his wife gave more than $200,000 to powerful Republicans and candidates for the past 12 years. His top GOP rival in the race, former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, and her political committees donated $130,000 over the same period. Michaels and his wife gave $207,650 to Republican and conservative candidates between 2010 and 2022. And his extended family gave $541,400 over that period. But the top beneficiary of donations from Michaels and his wife was former Governor Scott Walker. $58,000. Walker, as the governor, when former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish was Lieutenant Governor, has backed Clayfish in the race. But Tim Michaels' top donations recipient over the last 12 years is former Governor Walker. And so, I mean, he wants to be this outsider. He wants you to believe that that's his persona. And he's been right in there donating hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And there's laws against incest, too. This is an outrage.
That is not the same classification, Evan, but I see the witty point there. It's fascinating, though, as well, when you consider that Tim Michaels was essentially supporting Clayfish in this bid, in her bid, until he wasn't anymore. Until he was like, you know what, I'm going to go do this myself, and I'm going to run for governor. Before they were political rivals, Michaels even donated to Clayfish, giving her $1,000 in October of 2010, just before she and Walker were elected for the first time. But it seems like that might have been the only gift that he ever made to her. So, $58,000 to Scott Walker, and now running against Walker's heir apparent former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. I just find it fascinating that, you know, he wants to be the outsider, but he's definitely played the inside track. He's not being responsive on a lot of issues. He's skipping out on debates. But just look at the ads. Watch the ads. He's just driving his truck. And that's what he is. That's who he is. It's just a guy in a truck with a flannel on. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, but you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
They drove a dump truck full of money up to my house. I'm not made of stone.
Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, but you on the phone lines and Evan on the board, 844-967-2789. We're discussing the I guess, new front runner of the GOP primary, construction businessman Tim Michaels. And I see some callers lining up, so let's get over to the phone lines. Up first this afternoon, we got Eastside Dave calling in. Eastside, what are your thoughts on the day?
Hello, I haven't heard your show before, but it wasn't for lack of interest. And but I really want to chime in about one of my biggest complaints about our political system, which is that there's this endless idea that people have been brainwashed into this country to think that we always have exactly the same two parties that run, and that's it. And if you wanted to vote for the Green Party, don't waste your vote, and like that. And there was a guy named Ralph Nader who tried to run a while back, and he just said these two parties are like Tweedledee and Tweedledum, which I guess were some, I don't know, fairy tale kind of guys and, you know, dummies. And so my thinking is just, you know, I come from Wisconsin, U.S. citizen. And is this all we've got? Is this all we can do? Two parties, and we're supposed to be the leaders of democracy in this world. I see this as why we are a joke. And also, guys, I think back to the 1980s when I first started hearing about how liberals are from hell. And not to mention, if you're on the left, you're from hell. You should burn in hell. You know? So what you get from this is everybody should be a right-wing, Bible-thumping, Southern Baptist, whatever. And, yeah. And this is why people don't vote, man.
Hey, so. Eastside, I mean, I would love some democratic reforms in regards to voting and the way that our democracy is conducted. I think having third, fourth, fifth parties included in campaigning would be fascinating. You see other democracies do it around the world. Unfortunately, our system's just not set up for that. And most of the time, the moaning, I guess, or bemoaning of the two-party system only happens around elections. But if you wanted to see the rise of a popular third party, that's something you'd have to be putting in the work on 365 days out of the year, every single year. And it's a lot of hard work to get on the ballot, and being able to create a third party like that would take a lot of effort. And I wish people talked about it more than just around elections, when they find out who the candidates are and then they're not too thrilled with the choices. But for the most part, you got to deal with the hand that you're dealt and the system that you're in until you can change that system. And so I believe that there could be reforms like ranked choice voting and ideas like that that could be implemented to make it more democratic, to allow easier access for third parties on the ballot. But unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of appetite at all for that in either party, but I believe there's a bigger appetite for it in the Democratic Party. I'll be completely honest about that. There is no interest in making it easier to vote or improving the voting system on behalf of Republicans. Republicans want it to be stricter to vote, not expand that access and make it easier for everybody to vote. They want fewer people to vote because they know they win low turnout elections. It's a Republican strategy. Republicans try to depress the vote. And that's what they do. And so I completely agree with the sentiment. I wish we could see maybe a little bit more of a rise in third party candidates. I don't know if the Green Party ever really does itself any favors. They're not necessarily as powerful as, say, the Green Party is in Europe. And in that nature, there's not as well of a political organization there behind that party. But
there's also this sort of system of alliances, right? So, yeah. You have five or six parties, parliamentary, but they know how to coalesce.
Yeah, and parliamentary coalitions are a huge aspect of that, and you see a lot of compromise. But the United States system is not set up for compromise. You hear all these righties that don't want to see the filibuster removed. Oh, it fosters bipartisanship. You can't get rid of the filibuster. It's holy. You can't get rid of that. It's a tool used by the minority to prevent anything from happening. There's no compromise. You still see it. There was a bipartisan proposal through the U.S. House of Representatives earlier today to allow the federal government to provide more insight and funds and assistance for states and local governments to create active shooting warning alert systems. And 168 Republicans, I believe, still voted against it. It was a bipartisan bill. It had bipartisan support, and still 168 Republicans voted against it. U.S. Representative Ron Kind, the only Democrat, actually, to vote against it as well. He was concerned that it would cause too much confusion and add to the more chaos, I believe, was the quote from that press release I took a glance at today. But 168 Republicans said no. And that's just the state of the minority rule. There's no effort there to compromise. They don't want to compromise. They want to be against everything. And it's just not there. Up next on the phone lines this afternoon, we got Bill from Oconomowoc calling in. Bill, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon. You were talking about Tim Michaels a little while ago. I'd like to ask him and Rebecca. And by the way, Rebecca, I believe I got a notice. About a day ago, she's going to be at the Cornerstone Pub in Oconomowoc, I believe, at 5 o'clock on Sunday. Just anybody interested, ask her some questions. The questions I have for her and Michaels, well, since you're Republicans and since the Republicans created Foxconn, how are they going to resolve it? And how are they going to resolve the DNR that they blew up? And how are they going to resolve the educational system that you tore to pieces? And you know what, how they're going to respond. They're going to walk away. They're going to ignore it. They're going to say, oh, they're trying to start trouble. No, that's a real question. I was ever wondering if, like on your show or Crudy's or whoever, they ought to start calling these people online or their offices and requesting them to come on air and speak to peace with you guys. I know you treat them with respect. I doubt they'd ever show up, but you never know. Ron Johnson showed up. These guys might. And I think they know you're not going to bash them six ways a Sunday, but you're going to ask them honest questions. I'll hang up and ask you to listen to your thoughts. Thank you for giving me some airtime. Take care and have a good day.
Absolutely. You have a great day as well, Bill. I am open to dialogue. I am open to have a conversation with pretty much anybody. And I'm not afraid of that. The phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. But Bill, I have a feeling that, again, and it leads to where I started off the show, Tim Michaels, I think, is acting like this enigma because he wants to win the primary but run as a moderate. It's what his goal, I believe, is in this vein. And I don't know if moderation can be something that he wins a Republican primary on, so that's not what he's doing right now. He's got the Trump endorsement and he's kind of ducking out from journalists, from debates, and he's fine spending his own money on TV ads of him in a truck. He's happy to receive the lead in the polls that he has from the Marquette University Law School polling. And he's comfortable riding that wave for the next 3.5 weeks until the primary is here. And so it's definitely an interesting strategy. I don't know if it will work. I'm curious to know. But I absolutely think that the Republicans have to answer for Foxconn. They absolutely should, but you're right. They will tend to run away from questions like that because Rebecca Clayfish doesn't want to accept responsibility for that. It's not at all what her goal is between now and August 9th. She doesn't want to answer for that between now and November either. Republicans are going to blame anything else other than own up to responsibility on the blunder. And that is a polite way of describing it. The blunder that has been Foxconn for southeastern Wisconsin and the state as a whole. And I don't know exactly. This campaign season is in full swing. We've less than 4 weeks away from the primary. And Tim Michaels has this strategy, and I'm curious to know if it's going to work, honestly. But like I said, taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Up next, we got our friend Jeannie in Eau Claire. Jeannie, how are you doing today?
Great, how are you? I hope you guys are having a good day. It's sounding great as usual. You know, the one caller that was frustrated about the parties, if he's really concerned, he might want to join the party that's most like his ideas and what he wants in our state. And there's a lot of people that have joined the Democratic Party that have made really positive changes. And I'm thinking of the young people. They're really got good ideas. We need new thinking. And then we have the older people who know how to get things done. And I think that, you know, the Democratic Party is changing in a positive way with all the young people's input, and the older people are starting to listen, and they're starting to move away from their old ways toward progression. And the Republican Party, well, sorry about that, but I've been an independent my entire life, and they're fascist. They have moved to the fascist regime, and there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Taking away, or really pushing forced pregnancy on women. Give me a break. Interfering with elections, making it more difficult to vote. Trying to make laws from the Supreme Court down. It is just unnerving. I think people who are just running down both parties need to wake up and really pay attention to what's going on. And thank you guys for doing such a great job of informing the public, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Jeannie, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and appreciate your call. You can be like Jeannie, 844-967-2789. I agree. Both sides-isms is one of the most frustrating things ever to keep an eye on, the false equivalency. Equivalency for the sake of equivalency. When news outlets or parties or organizations try to chalk it up as both sides just to seem fair and balanced, is very frustrating.
And I think it's disingenuous.
It's disingenuous, and usually it's one of the best indicators for me that you haven't been paying attention. Like, like outcrying that, oh, well, we're not taking all callers because you're sitting on hold. But, you know, I have a feeling I'm going to regret this. We got a couple minutes before the break. Let's see what he has to say. CJ and Stoughton, what do you want to talk about today, CJ?
Well, looking at it, I want to talk about Tim Michaels.
All right. Well, let's keep it on topic then.
World right now. How many jobs does he, how many employees does he have?
I don't know how many employees. How many does he have?
8,000 employees. You know what the average salary is?
Nope.
The union jobs. You know what the average salary is? $75,000 a year.
Those state contracts that he gets for building roads are really helpful to employ all 8,000 and provide those salaries, I bet.
Well, I tell you what, it does pretty darn good for our economy, and this guy's a job creator, something that your candidates have never done other than what?
I'm not running any of these races, CJ.
We're living in a Democrat world now, so you guys are terrified of them. And we've got a couple of good candidates. I can't wait to see the debates. But
Tim Michaels will skip it. Yeah, I mean, Tim Michaels is going to skip it, CJ. He's already skipped out on debates.
You know what? It doesn't matter. You guys can worry about it.
It doesn't matter.
You're concerned about him.
I'm concerned that we're not talking about him enough because he is the front runner right now, CJ. And I absolutely believe that his record.
Hell of a good governor.
All right. I don't know, because he won't answer the questions. He's not going to the debates, CJ. And sorry, when you try to talk over me, then I got to put you on hold. But I took your call. You classify as everyone. Like I said, I'm open to the debate. I think it's pretty interesting that he's going to run on his family business. He co-owns it with his family, and he didn't found it. He's running from what I hear, Michael's Construction is a good employer. I don't disagree with that. I don't necessarily believe that means he's got the best qualifications to be the leader of the state. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789.
The troops. Yes. All the troops.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta
hate. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I got Evan on the board providing me with that chuckle. I appreciate that one, Evan. Thank you. It's definitely... I didn't absolutely regret it, so it could have gone worse for CJ. I find his points are always fascinating, that we're living in a Democrat world or whatever he wants to say.
Yeah.
When, you know, there's very much the Republican Wisconsin legislature. It's just... Like, I don't know how you... The Republicans lost the governorship and they held everything else. They're like, oh, it's the Democratic world now.
Yeah. I would talk trash about feckless Democrats and, you know, they can't do. You know what? That's a different conversation, because
Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu have taken the rest. Like, they haven't worked since February, first week of March. Those guys have been literally just constituent services, and they don't answer the phone calls in their offices, though, so really, really solid constituent services that they're providing. And I got a little puff piece of Devin LeMahieu over at the Cap Times, and I got a question for them why they're running that as a cover story, but don't have enough time to get into that today. But before I get back to the callers, 844-967-2789, I see y'all lining up. We will get to you as quickly as we can here. To CJ's point, the incumbent Governor Tony Evers in this race statistically is one of the best governors in the entire country out of all other 50 governors when it comes to support for small business getting out of the COVID-19 pandemic. Job creator working in a construction business, that's great. Keep up the good work at that construction business. I don't believe that automatically means that you have what it takes to lead the bureaucracy that is the Wisconsin state government.
I'd say it shows that you don't have the right stuff, because it's not the same as running a business, period.
It's not. No, running government and running business are two different things. And the comparisons for me are always a little baffling. Like, I don't quite understand what, like, Trump ran the Trump brand into the ground. He's not a good businessman. And somehow that's still, he's so successful with those Trump steaks and the Trump vodka and the Trump Airlines and the Trump University, and I'll go on and on. Oh, they're all failures. Like, Tim Michaels is successful in the construction business. Continue living in New York and enjoying your successful construction business then. That's fine. I don't understand why he believes that necessarily means that he has what it takes to run the Wisconsin government. I don't. As an educator and the leader of the schools, the superintendent of schools in Wisconsin, Tony Evers has created a background of being able to lead in that regard. Tim Michaels runs a family business that was given to him by his family. I'm sorry. Like, I don't understand that. But back to the phone lines. We got Don and Madison calling in. Don, what's on your mind today?
Well, the ads I'm looking at, and you can't escape them because they're everywhere. With the Michaels, is that he's running hard for the Trump base. You know, the ads where he's going to turn upside down Madison. And the other ad I saw the other day where, you know, the radicals are coming to take, you know, everything we love that's a Democratic. I'd love to take that ad. And when he shows the video of all of the flag burning, put in the Trump riot on that and say, yes, radicals are threatening to take our way of life away from us. But what do you think about the idea of, and I don't know if this has been done, but pointing out that, you know, the Republicans are stretching so much for a candidate, they had to bring in a candidate from Connecticut to run in Wisconsin because our candidates that we have here are just terrible. So they brought in the East Coast guy to get an address here in Wisconsin so they can run, you know. There's got to be a way.
Well, what they did, Don, is they found the East Coast guy that still had the Wisconsin address, apparently, because the former guy wanted former Congressman Sean Duffy to do it. But he moved to Jersey, and he's already gave up his Wisconsin address, so he couldn't claim residency here. They instead found somebody else, I guess, coming from the East Coast, Greenwich, Connecticut. And he's still got the Wisconsin residency, allegedly, and he's going to run.
The most expensive zip codes in the country, no doubt.
Yeah, and instead he's going to tout this, I'm driving a truck. You know, you need a pickup truck in New York City. I can't imagine driving in New York to begin with.
Let alone, you know, an F-250 dually fifth wheel.
It just sounds like such a headache. I don't understand that.
$40,000.
To each their own.
For parking.
Yeah. Up next, we got Joe and Madison calling in. Joe, what's on your mind today?
Well, crank it up to 10. You know, nice try, CJ. But the whole idea of he's a businessman. Big deal. We just had a businessman who was attempting to overthrow the government of the United States. I'm supposed to be impressed with that? I'm not. I'm also not impressed with businessmen like Trump and like this guy who got their business from daddy. There's a whole big difference between stepping in from, you know, junior shoes have already been shined up for him and he can step in, as compared to people who are actually scratching it out on their own. Big difference.
Huge
difference.
And there's
also a big difference between, yes, people who have been living here in Wisconsin, experiencing, talking, being here in this state, rather than sashaying in from the East Coast. This is a deal for him to make money. It's just like Trump, the same kind of deal where we are going to be ending up picking up the pieces from a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't understand what government is about, but hopes to get in there and make some moolah. He's talking about putting his construction company into a blind trust. How do you do that? What's the mechanism for that? How do you put a whole construction company into a blind trust?
It's literally the answer that the former guy gave, Joe, and so he feels like he can give it too. It's one of those things where, like, oh, that's how you get away from answering that question? Oh, okay, yeah, blind trust, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And Jared, who ended up with his $2 billion from the Saudis, and Ivanka, who made $650 million on her time in government, and how much has Trump been making? It's the same thing. It's a grift. It's a money deal. And this idea that businessmen know more than other people about running a government, as you just said, it is not the same deal. When you're in business, you're on the top, you snap your fingers, it goes. We have three branches of government that you have to work with, and you have to work with them in order to make it happen. So I'm less than impressed with the idea that the person is a businessman, that daddy's business. Big deal. I mean, really, big deal. I could do a real well, too, if I had a business my father carved out for me and I was able to step into it. But that wasn't my case, and it wasn't the case of most people in this state. So I'm not impressed. And I also think it's going to be real interesting how he squares his union participation with the anti-union rhetoric that is part of the current Republican Party. That's going to be an interesting one. And
well,
I'd really like
thing.
To hear about that.
Yeah, Joe. And that's the thing is he doesn't have the support from the Republican establishment. That's how I guess he could kind of say that he's outsider. But Voss, LeMahieu, they've endorsed Rebecca Clayfish, a former lieutenant governor in the race. Because they think that she'll just rubber stamp whatever they want to do. Robin Voss believes that he's got the power in this state. And through gerrymandering, he's consolidated it fairly well. And it's not only this fall's elections, but next spring's Supreme Court election is going to determine the makeup of the power balance in this state for the next part of this decade. And so there are a ton of important elections coming up. But that's the other thing. He announced his candidacy that he was going to be not asking for any donations. Tim Michaels is still fundraising off of supporters. He's a millionaire asking for people to donate to his campaign, saying that he was going to self-fund it, but still asking for contributions. So that's a huge another dynamic of his campaign that's just fascinating to look at. But folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I will be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.
I make car parts for the American working man, because that's what I am, and that's who I care about.